Blog Talk Radio.
They said we could.
Stay in the light. Spells at long ago.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Tom Gent's songs have been recorded by Kris Kristofferson, Gene Watson, Bobby Bear, Bobby Goldsboro, and the list goes on. He's played lead guitar for Mickey Newberry, appeared as background vocalist on Joan Baez's The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down, and Steve Goodman's City of New Orleans. Tom also sang the title song on the soundtrack album for the Mick Jagger movie Ned Kelly. This talented singer-songwriter joins me on this special Sunday afternoon show to talk about his music career and share some of his songs, including one of his best, Whiskey Whiskey. We'll hear all about that and much more. My pleasure to welcome to the show Tom Gent. Hey, Tom.
Hello, Dave. Are we live right now?
We're live in the country.
Oh, thank God. At my age, you know, when you wake up, you're never really sure.
Well, the good news is we're live and well and kicking, and it's going to be great to chat with you. We've had a chance to connect over the last couple of months after Garrett Walker connected us, which was very cool.
That's correct. Very, very good. Yes, I saw Garrett just the other night. I'm sure he's probably tuned in, and I wouldn't be surprised if he called in. So,
well, that'd be great to hear from him. You called in on his show, so that would be a turnabout is fair play, so we'll look forward to that. And we will take calls on the show if someone is listening and wishes to speak with Tom. We can definitely take those calls during the show. So, Tom, let's maybe go back in time and talk about sort of the beginnings of things for you and maybe how music first came into your life.
Well, actually, you know, a lot of my my background is Canadian. And
very cool.
My father, you know, came from Montreal, and he's French and Iroquois. And a lot of his family, they all moved down to Rhode Island back, you know, when I was a child. And so a lot of his family actually played country music. And I had an aunt who used to play country music for a little country band on the weekend. She was their lead guitar player, believe it or not. And we'd go up and we'd visit, and she'd play music, and I'd sing, and then she started giving me guitar lessons and things like that. So I took guitar lessons, you know, when I was about 8 years old for a couple of months. And, of course, I hurt my fingers, so I quit. And then, but she, you know, she'd invite me, you know, sometimes when she'd be playing some club or something, she'd invite me out, and I'd, you know, get dragged up on stage and sing "You're Cheating Hard" or something, you know. And I loved it. I was a ham, of course, and you know. So you know, you get it in your blood early, and you love it. And years later, when the whole like folk music thing came in, you know, came into happening, but you know, back around 1958, a whole bunch of my friends were getting into it, and I dug up my old you know, cheapo guitar and started practicing again, and next thing you know, I was, you know, singing and playing in coffee houses. And, of course, you know, since a lot of my background had really been, you know, country music,
mm-hmm.
you know, my dad sang, but he didn't sing professionally. I don't know whether it was just that he was shy or whether it was just that he, you know, didn't really think he had time to do that, you know. But he used to sing when he was driving the car, and he could play harmonica, and he could yodel pretty well, too.
Okay.
Well, I grew up with that, you know, with that influence. And, of course, back in those days, I think we mentioned this the other day, that when you listened to the radio, it was radio. You know, they'd have Rosemary Clooney and Bing Crosby, and then you'd hear Hank Snow, you know.
Right.
So that's the way radio was back then. So we grew up with all kinds of music, and I always had my love for country music. So inadvertently, when I started writing music, any number of the things that I wrote, were, if they were not quote unquote hard country, they were definitely translatable to hard country. And when I finally came down to Nashville, a lot of my songs just started getting cut by people, and they were cut pretty much as being country, you know.
Now, when you first moved to Nashville and brought along your songs and continued to write, what were some of your early successes? How did you sort of get those first ones in the hands of somebody who would listen?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say this because, you know, this is not fair. I mean, I am an absolute phony. You know, I had made a record out in California in 1968, and I came back to New York. A friend of mine was running a coffee house. One night, Shel Silverstein walks into the coffee house, and in tow, he has a whole bunch of people. They sit in the front row. I'm singing. I actually sang Whiskey Whiskey that night. And next thing you know, Shel calls me over. I had met him briefly on a few occasions before, but not really, you know, ever had him as a friend, just somebody I had met. And he introduces me to his friends, and among the four or five people that were with him, one of them was Vince Matthews, who wrote Wrinkle Crinkle Water Dollar Bill for Johnny Cash. And one of the other friends that was with him was Chris Christopherson. And Chris, at that time, was not famous yet. It was about, like I said, it was, 1968, and Chris said, boy, I like that song about whiskey, you know. you got to come down to Nashville. And I'm like, yeah, right, pal, dirt roads, you know. And he called me a few times, and he'd always go, oh, come on down to Nashville. I'll take care of you, man. Come down to Nashville. Well, finally, wow. One day, I got my butt on a Greyhound bus, mm-hmm. and I got off, and I hopped in a cab, and it took me about 3/4 of a mile till I got to Music Row, and walked into this old house that was a publishing company. Back in those days, Music Row wasn't like big buildings. They were old houses that had been converted into offices. I mean, it was really country. And I walked into this old house, and there was Chris and a whole bunch of other people, and he had me play Whiskey Whiskey for the man who owned the company, which was Combine, and that was Fred Foster. And I played the song for Fred Foster. Fred went over to the cupboard, and he took out a bottle of whiskey and poured us all a shot. We drank a little whiskey, and about a week or two later, Whiskey Whiskey was cut by Nat Stuckey, and maybe 3 to 4 weeks after that, it was number one on the country radio chart. So,
wow.
Sleazeball. I mean, I just kind of, waltzed into the middle of this. I was an overnight success after about 10 years in the music business.
That's amazing to get there and to have the song heard, of course, by someone like Chris Christopherson, and then to go on to be a hit for Nat Stuckey. So, I don't know how you would live up to stuff after that, but let's talk about the song Whiskey Whiskey. Now, Chris Christopherson recorded it. Also, were there other recordings of it besides those two?
Oh, yeah. In 19, Chris's recording didn't come out till 79, and it was on his album Shake Hands with the Devil. And then it was followed up by an album he cut Lincoln Center or something like that?
Yeah, Lincoln Center. Yeah.
And he had a whole entourage of, everybody who was everybody, in variable kinds of music because Chris was always kind of like flypaper for everybody that was famous. I mean, everybody just flocked to Christopherson. He had that kind of charisma. But in, I believe it was either late 71 or early 72, it was a Rita Coolidge cut. As a matter of fact, right now, a fellow named Nick Martin that you might be familiar with, he's out of Woodstock. He has a recording of it that I believe is in the top 25 or something like that of the Americana charts.
Very cool. Yeah, you had pointed that out to me a month ago or so, and I checked that out. Very cool to see Nick Martin doing a version of that and bringing it to life, here all these years later.
Well, you know, it's amazing. All of this stuff does come back around. You know, I go out to clubs now and I hear young singers singing Help Me Make It Through the Night and stuff like that, you know, which is, you know, Trey Cool, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I guess a great song never really goes away. It's going to come back for the new generations to discover and either put their own spin on it or at least pay homage to the great writing.
I'm going to tell you something that is even sleazier than what I told you about the song becoming a hit. I'm going to tell you how I wrote that song.
Love to hear it.
Okay. I had this girlfriend. Boy, she was one lovely young lady. Her father was a big conservative, and he hated me. I can't understand why he hated me. I mean, I was a long-haired singer, songwriter from Greenwich Village. I would have thought he'd have just loved me. But anyway, he used to sit around at night and drink his scotch. And every once in a while, his daughter and I would go over and visit with him, and he would always offer me something to drink. And of course, I didn't really drink at that time, to tell you the honest God truth, but I hated scotch. So he'd always pour me a little glass of bourbon, and to be sociable, I would, you know, sip on it. Well, a few years later, his daughter and I broke up, and what had happened is the Christmas before that, I had bought him a 21-year-old bottle of Schivitz Regal. Well, because he loved me so much, he had bought me a bottle of Rebel Yell. Now, I don't know if you know anything about whiskey, but Rebel Yell is not considered top of the line. But anyway, since I didn't really drink bourbon anyway, I never opened the bottle. Well, his daughter and I broke up, and I was pretty miserable about it. So one night, I'm, you know, home alone, and I opened this bottle. Well, my father, who I'm sure you've heard the song The Gandhi Dancer, and in that song I talk about how my father regretted me going into the music business. Well, he did, but he loved me so much that he went out and he wanted to show that he supported me. So a few, you know, about a year or so after I had left home, he presented me with this little reel-to-reel tape recorder that he had bought for me. And that was really, you know, that was really a sacrifice for him. And I mean, you know, and I'll never forget that, and I'll never, you know, forget him for doing that. But anyway, I drink this bottle of whiskey, and I wake up the next day on the couch with my guitar beside me, the recorder sitting on the floor, and the reel's still turning, and it's run out of tape. And they're all, the tape's all on one side. And so I look at this, and I'm like shaking my head. And, you know, I almost wound it back and just said, well, you know, I don't know, you know, what's going on here? But I didn't. I wound it back, and I turned it on. And there was this guy on there going, she's a little bit of the sunshine just before the rain. And I went, oh, my God, this is the song.
Wow, you had written the song under the influence, I guess.
I did not know it. And the truth of the matter is I never changed a word of that song, and I would like to thank her father for buying me that whiskey.
That's a very cool story. And, Tom, while we've got the story just told, let's share the song with that fresh in mind, and then we'll come back and talk about it a lot more. How does that sound?
I want people to know I don't sing it that way, right?
What's that?
You want people to know I really don't sing it that way.
Right, right.
Okay, brother.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. This is a sober version of you singing it, correct?
Okay.
This is Whiskey Whiskey, sung and performed by my guest, Tom Gent, here on In the Country.
She's a little bit of the sunshine just before the rain. A little light, this quiet night, for the cold wind came like the weather. I never know when she's gonna change. And she's a part of my heart and a whole lot of my pain. And whiskey, my old friend, I've come to talk with you again. Milk of mercy, please be kind and drive this feeling from my mind. Oh, don't you know, somehow her smile Lord, it made the day begin. She'd take away this mask of gray, Lord, let the sun shine in. But now I find that I've been blinded by the cold and wintry wind. She disguised behind her eyes, Lord, what a fool I've been. And whiskey, my old friend, I've come to talk with you again. Milk of mercy, please be kind and drive this feeling from my mind.
Country singer-songwriter Tom Gent performing a song that he wrote called Whiskey Whiskey, which went on to be recorded by Nat Stuckey and did great on the charts. Kris Kristofferson recorded it as well, along with others. Beautiful song and very heartfelt, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you. Actually, I did that recording at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was building a new studio. I've had about 4 studios over the years, and I was building a brand new one back around 4 or 5 years ago, and I had just rebuilt the recording booth about 3 or 4 times because it didn't sound exactly the way I wanted it to, and I had just finished the rebuilding it the last time, and it was about 3 in the morning, and I just took and I pressed the record button and threw a couple of mics up and went in there and sang that song so I could see what the studio sounded like, and that was the cut, and I said, hey, I'm going to keep that sucker. So that'll be on my new album.
Awesome. Now, so a new album, when can we expect that to be coming out?
About another 2 months, because everybody is griping at me. You know, I've had it in the works for a while. The name of it is going to be Retroflect, and it's it's a compilation of songs that I or my friends wrote while I was in Greenwich Village. And
cool.
And so it includes a lot of songs that, you know, by a lot of artists that you've heard of from years back, plus a lot of my own songs. And in between the cuts, I talk about the artists and the songs, just as I talked about, you know, Whiskey a moment ago. And so it is a lot of funny stories and all that, you know, all
that. Well, we'll look forward to that. Where's the best place on the internet sort of to follow the progress of the CD and keep in touch?
Just keep an eye on CD Baby, because you will see it announced there. And
very
I do
cool.
have a Sutherland Records. If you go to Sutherland Records, you know, it's spelled just like Donald and Kiefer Sutherland. Or
yep.
Have nothing to do with the it being named that. It just happens to be Sutherland Records because it was the first street that my company was on.
Oh, okay.
And so it's Sutherland Records. And, you know, if you just, or, you know, if you want to find Sutherland Records, just put Tom Ghent, G-H-E-N-T, just like the city in Belgium and the city in upstate New York, just put my name into the, you know, into any of the major engines, search engines, and it'll bring you right to it, and it'll tell you all kinds of more stuff about me than you ever wanted to know.
Well, we'll look forward.
I want you to know. Some of it is even true.
I wanted to ask you, Tom, what compels you to write? What is it that comes over you? We know Whiskey at one point came over you to write that song, but in general, what is the influence that drives you to write?
I've been asked that same question by the police. I think that, you know, there is no one thing. Sometimes you write, you know, from your absolute personal experience. And sometimes you look around yourself and you see a situation which is going on and you say, gee, you know, somebody should write something about that, you know, and it inspires you to, you know, to write some kind of line or think of some kind of line or sometimes you just be driving, you know, I mean, honest to God, sometimes when I'm traveling, I'll just be, you know, driving down the road and I've had times when I've written a song in my head.
Right.
And been able to play the song because I can, you know, I am a studio musician, so I'm capable of hearing the chord changes in my head. And I've had times when I've walked into a new club or into a club and played a brand new song that I wrote driving to the club and had never played before. So
talk about a brand new song for the audience, almost brand new for you too.
Well, that what you know. If I want to sum up my inspiration for writing, the truth of the matter really is that I, you know, when I first got into the music business and I got into folk music, there were so many people that were singing the same songs all the time. And then I noticed that there were other people who had songs that they were writing. And I said to myself, wouldn't it be nice to, you know, write my own songs and not be singing what everybody else is singing, so that way I could walk on stage and not have to worry that I was going to do the same thing that the guy before me did. Although it has happened to me once that there was one young fellow whose name I will not mention because I don't want to embarrass him because he actually is a guy I like very much, but he recorded his first album and it was like, you know, four or five of my songs.
Okay.
And he came and opened for me at the Gaslight one night, and what he did as his opening set was to sing about seven of my best songs. And my God, I mean, he was
yikes.
A hard act to follow.
I wanted to ask you about another song, just so we can play it next, Tom, and share another song, but it's called Follow It All the Way Down, and you were talking to me about how the version you sent me is kind of a stripped-down version, and it'll be a nice contrast to, I guess, the recorded version. Do you want to talk sort of about the story behind that song?
Well, you know, if you listen to that song, you hear that the first line is, I left St. John when I was only 15, or barely 15. And I myself was only in St. John until I was four. But, you know, I romanticized, you know, and St. John was something that was, you know, near to my heart. And so I wrote the song being that. But really, it's a story about, you know, parental love, I guess. You know, how your parents view who and what you are and how they encourage you and and all of this. So that's what, you know, that's what that song really is. And you were talking about, you know, my mentioning that it was a stripped-down version. I had done the song, you know, in Nashville. I recorded it for MCA, and it was on the Yankees Rebel Sun album, which actually got listed by the New York Times as one of the top 10 best albums of the year as a pop album. And Norbert Putnam had produced that record, and he had some very definite production ideas that, you know, weren't necessarily my own in all cases, and I can understand that. You know, I'm a producer, and I understand that
sure.
producers and artists, you know, vary and, you know, differ in things. So anyway, he pretty much dictated the way it was done, and in spite of the fact that I really do love that album, I never felt that that was a cut that I was particularly comfortable with the way I did the performance. Because the musical track was so much different from the way I, you know, personally interpreted it.
Right.
That, you know, for one reason or another, I had not done the performance I wanted to. And so I turned around, and in the same studio that I did Whiskey Whiskey, I also did a very stripped-down version of Follow It All the Way Down, and I felt, you know, I said, man, this is just much more funky, and I just like it the way it is. This is, you know, to me, it's kind of like Tony Joe White or something like that, you know, just very simple, just
yeah.
you know, an R&B thing that's kind of done with a man and a guitar, you know.
That's pretty cool to hear a song just down to the basics, acoustic. You can really get a feel for the song a little better sometimes.
Well, I love the cut. I mean, I really do. I love the cut. So I'm proud that you're going to play it.
Yeah, we'll share it now. That's great. This is Tom Gent, and Follow It All the Way Down here on In the Country.
Follow it all the way down.
Country singer-songwriter Tom Gent and his song Follow It All the Way Down here on this special Sunday afternoon edition of In the Country. Tom's joining me on the line from Tennessee and played a couple of the songs, another one on the way. Tom, I wanted to ask you, is there an artist over the years that you've wanted to have record one of your songs and maybe still on your dream list to do so?
Yeah, Elvis Presley, and the sucker just refuses to do it.
He's not returning your calls, is he?
No, you know, I followed him through laundromats and, you know, drugstores and you name it. And actually, he did have a song of mine he loved very much that is on my MySpace, I think, called, Wear Your Inside on Your Outside. And unfortunately, in spite of the fact that it had been played for him and he liked it, he passed away before he was able to do it. I've always regretted that.
Yeah, that would have been great to hear his voice on that song. Is there anybody else out there sort of that sort of would be a dream for you to have them record a song, whether it's today or from the past?
Well, I actually have some songs that are kind of that are kind of jazz, and there's this Bublé fellow. What's his name? Michael Bublé or?
Oh yeah, Michael Bublé. Yep, great great jazz singer.
I think he's just wonderful. And a few times I've seen him interviewed and everything, I said, man, this guy is just, you know, I mean, I like people who are down to earth. You know, and he's really down to earth, as Christofferson was very much down to earth. And, you know, Michael Settle has done some wonderful versions of my songs. You're all familiar with him. He wrote stuff like But You Know I Love You. And he also wrote this classic back in the 60s, Settle Down, that was like a, you know, one of the first big folk song hits on the radio. And anyway, you know, I just like people like that who are really, really down to earth. And so, you know, I think, you know, Michael Bublé is somebody I would love to have record one of my songs. My song Alley Cat, I think, would be a great song for him. I did want to mention something because I was listening and we were just talking about Canada.
Yeah,
I've got a couple of friends up there, very, very close friends, Ron Bankley and Bruce Murdoch. And as I mentioned to you the other day, you know, Ron is putting together some reunion, you know, shows for Bruce and I, and he's going to be on them as well because Ron is wonderful, one of the greatest singer-songwriters and an unbelievable guitar player, as well as being just a tremendous fella. And he's put together, he sent me an email, and he says on September the 4th, we're going to be in Ormstown, and on the 3rd we'll be in Montreal.
And, very cool.
So, and then there's another place up there, you've heard of Hugh's Room, I think, which is in Toronto.
That's just down in Toronto, for sure. A lot of Nashville Songwriters Association events take place down there,
well,
among others.
He just performed there this weekend with Michelle Schacht.
Oh, very cool. Great.
And so he was talking, and he said, I talked to Hugh, the owner of the room, and he said that he is very much in favor of having us do another reunion show there. So we may be there as well, but that hasn't been solidified yet, but they're looking into it. So it looks like we will be up in Canada, take your women and children and hide them inside.
I wanted to ask you, Tom, about you mentioned you the time that you knew Kris Kristofferson or first knew him was sort of before things broke big for him. What was it like when you guys would be either performing together or you'd get a chance to hear some of the songs he wrote? Did you get to hear some of the early classics that went on to become the big hits for him?
Man, there were songs he'd play for me and he nobody had ever cut him, and I'd say, Chris, I'm going to record that song for you. And of course, you know, before I ever got a chance to record those songs for him, they became so famous that it was useless for me to record them for him. So actually, I will tell you, among the songs that I have recorded of, I said I was doing an album of songs I learned in Greenwich Village. And of course, as I mentioned to you, I met Kris Kristofferson in Greenwich Village, and it was near the end of the 60s, but one of the songs that I got him up on stage. It was the first time he'd ever performed live in New York City, and he sang Me and Bobby McGee and Sunday Morning Coming Down and a number of things, and this new album does include a cut of Sunday Morning Coming Down.
Oh, great. Love that song. Such
really, I do too. And I saw Chris recently at a benefit that we were doing, and I told him I had cut it, and he hugged me, and he said, "You ought to, you lived it." So it was
wow. That's great when you can record a song that is not only a classic, but as Chris said to you, that you lived through what the song is saying. Obviously, then you can bring something really personal to it.
Oh, man, we've burned so many bridges behind us.
Well, that's what you put into a lot of your songs, which is keeps things true to life. I wanted to ask you as well, Tom, country singers, can you think of one, in your opinion, that's the greatest country singer of all time, or at least one of your top favorites?
Brad Paisley. I know you're shocked to hear me say that.
I just about fell off my chair.
I'm going to tell you something. Somebody called me up recently. There's a young lady who's up around the Canadian border who has a blog that she has out, and it's called something about Northern Country. And she reached me by internet, and she asked me, she said, "Tom, what has happened to country music?" And I said, "Well, you know, over the years, there have been, you know, many types of music which came together and formed other types of music. You know, like you had, you know, blues, and you had, you know, like, you had rock and roll, and it came together, and next thing you know, you got, like, rhythm and blues. And you had, rock, and you had country, and you had country rock, and you had folk rock, and you had jazz blues and all this." And I said, somewhere around 20 years ago, the country music industry got together with Seinfeld, and now we have songs about absolutely nothing. Now, I'm sure that I will never get another song cut in my life, having said that. But anyway.
Another bridge burned, right?
Another bridge burned. But I do love Brad Paisley. I love a lot of people. I mean, I like Hank Snow. I mean, I loved Hank Williams. I like Hank Jr. I loved Waylon. You know, I mean, there are many, many, many of the old crowd I really liked. I think that part of what's hurting the country music industry is, you know, one, this is a horrible story, but it's a beautiful story. Chris and I were on an airplane one time. This was way, 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 way back. And we were probably flying either to California or New York or something, leaving Nashville. And the flight attendant, which, of course, back then they were stewardesses, the stewardess came by, and she had an armload of books. So you remember how they used to bring you around magazines in those days. And she said, "Would you like one of these?" And you know, she handed it, you know, I said, "Oh, let's see what you have." And so she's flipping through these magazines, and suddenly I see that there is a magazine with a picture of Chris on the cover.
Okay.
And I pull it out, and it's Look magazine. And she looks at the picture, and she looks at Chris, and she kind of smiles. And in there, it was an article about the fact that Chris was the first person in history to ever have five songs in the top five at the same time. You know, he had Help Me Make It Through the Night, and Me and Bobby McGee was number one, and blah, 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 and Sunday Morning Coming Down by Johnny Cash, and For the Good Times by Ray Price, and, you know, you name it, and there's, you know, one more. But anyway, like, Chris always apologized after that happened, because for years and years and years, all the record companies had a little branch down in Nashville, which they totally ignored and let run by themselves. And they would sell their country records. They, you know, a big record, you know, 50 or 100,000 records was just absolutely huge. Every once in a while, you'd have a single that might get a million seller, like Dale Ward's, Letters to Sherry, which, by the way, was the first selling million-selling record, you know, ever in country music. And anyway, they just totally ignored Nashville, and they said, "Oh, let those bunch of hillbillies take care of themselves." Well, as soon as the Christopherson phenomenon happened, they sent all their people from New York and Los Angeles down to Nashville to make sure we knew how to run country music right. The only problem is none of those people knew anything about country music. So subsequently, Kris Kristofferson making country music so famous was the beginning of the end of country music. And it's a fact that he, to this day, regrets having been responsible for. And I do think that country music is slowly but surely coming back. And like I said, the person in country music who I think is just fantastic right now is Brad Paisley. The guy can actually play guitar like a real great guitar player should be able to play guitar. And he sings country, and he doesn't have his voice tuned. I mean, you know, it's too bad, but, you know, so many of these, artists today, quote-unquote, I mean, it's like they're so tuned that you can't really tell what they actually sound like. And when you use those tuners, it takes all the emotion out of people's voices. So, so even if they were very, very good, the industry has gotten so used to using the tuners that you couldn't tell.
I mean, that's amazing. In country music of all formats, you need to hear the emotion. You can get away with it in some styles of music because, you know, the emotion isn't necessary. But country music, we've got to have that for sure.
You know, I saw Buck Owens shortly before he died being interviewed on television. And they said to Buck, they said, what do you think of the new country artists? And he said, it's hard to tell. They all sound alike. He said it must be something about the echo they're using. And you know darn well that he was just being, you know, tongue-in-cheek because of the simple fact that Buck Owens knew more about recording than anybody in the business. You know, Buck Owens had owned recording studios for 1,000,000 years and recorded all kinds of artists. I mean, so Buck Owens knew that it was the tuner that was, you know, the thing that was making it possible for people who weren't very good to sound like they could carry a tune was the same thing that was taking people who probably were very good and making it impossible for you to tell that they were any different from the others.
Very interesting point, and that makes a lot of sense. Getting set to wrap things up here, Tom. The time has flown by. We've just got a couple of minutes left here. We were able to play a couple of your songs, terrific songs. Just in the last moment here, as we're wrapping things up, did you have a message for your fans out there, the ones listening and ones who followed your music over the years?
Well, I'm sure I do. I mean, I'm sitting here, my email's coming up, and I'd like to say to all you people out there, stop sending me this hate mail. No, actually, when you go from town to town and you play for people and people, you know, like, it's amazing. Like, over the years, you know, you play for people. I've got people that I played for 50 years ago whose children are now bringing their children. I mean, it is just so, it is so amazing. I mean, you feel like you're so much of a part of these people's lives, and of course they're a part of your life, and, you know, what can you obviously say but thank you? You know, you have made, you know, I was sitting one time in Eddie Miller's office. Eddie wrote, Please Release Me, and Eddie and I had a company together years and years ago called Music in Color, and because of my association with Eddie, I did get to meet a lot of people that I would not have met otherwise, because they would just come by his office and sit around and chat. And one of the fellas was, I'm so terrible, and I'm getting old, and I'm going to forget his name, and I just knew it. You know, the guy who had made the Bird of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose.
Is it Little Jimmy Dickens?
Little Jimmy Dickens.
Yeah.
Little Jimmy Dickens sat in that office one time in the early 70s, and he said, you know, he said, I have a mat at my front door that says, welcome. Without you, I am nothing.
And wow, that says,
yes,
that says quite a bit.
Yes, it does. And Jimmy Dickens is like that. Believe me, he is like that. And I'd like to think that I feel the same way.
Well, that's awesome, Tom. Wrapped up on a very positive note there. Great speaking with you, and I want to wish you all the best. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, man. It has been wonderful. The time has just absolutely flown by.
It's flown by. We could have definitely done a lot more time. So good to have finally spoken with you on the air. We spoke yesterday. But once again, thanks so much, Tom, and wish you all the best with the upcoming CD.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you to everybody who's tuned in. And I hope that you know, I do get the new CD out fairly soon, and that it turns out to be something that brings a lot of people a lot of pleasure.
That sounds terrific. My guest today has been country singer-songwriter Tom Gent. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this special Sunday afternoon edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country. Wait.